Okay. We're going to speak about the halacha of Amir Liakum, instructing a Gentile. And first we're going to go into the reasons why we cannot instruct the Gentile on the Sabbath. One reason is because of shlichus. He can't be your messenger. There's a concept in the Torah of shluchus shalavim kamaisai. If a person sends a shliach to do something, it's as if you did it yourself. Shluach shel adam kamaisai. Now, really, a Gentile doesn't qualify to be a shliach. But, l'chumra, in Hilchos Shabbos, we say he's a shliach. So therefore, if you tell a Gentile to cook, it's as if you cook. That is the prohibition midrabbanan. Another reason is because Davar Dover. Who said that? Davar Dover. So, Diburcha b'Shabbos ke Diburcha b'Chol. That your talk on Shabbos should not be like your talk during the weekdays. So, therefore, if you talk about cooking by instructing a Gentile, that's also prohibited. And there's a big difference, Leon, between the two cases. If it's because of Shlichas before Shabbos, you can't tell him to do it on Shabbos. If it's because Dabar Dover, because your talk is unacceptable before Shabbos, you can tell him to do it on Shabbos. If it's because of Shlichus on Shabbos, you can tell him to do it after Shabbos. Because when it's done, it's a time of Heter. But if it's Dabar Dover, your talk is unacceptable. But if you tell him on Shabbos to do it on Shabbos, then you violate both Shlichus and the concept of Dabar Dover. Now, it's very possible that you could tell a Gentile to do something, Mitzvah Shabbos, if it's a mitzvah. Why? Because we know Davar Dover is not usher if it's Tzairach Mitzvah. So even though Amir Lakum is not mutter to do a mitzvah, you can't tell a guy to do a Melacha D'Raisa even though it's a mitzvah. However, if you tell him to do it after Shabbos, you don't have the chelik, you don't have the reason of Shlichus, because the malacha is done in a time of chayil. What do we have? Dabar Dover. Dabar Dover is mutter, l'tzairich mitzvah. So that is the two reasons, and that's the nafkamina between the reason of Dabar Dover and shlichus. Now, interestingly, you could tell a guy he should cook his own food. You could tell a guy that he can do a malacha, he should do a malacha for himself, providing it's not with your kalim. So let's say you go over to a guy and you say, Mr. Guy, cook yourself an egg with my pot. That's not allowed. But if you tell Mr. Guy, cook yourself an egg with your pot, then it's fine. Because then he's doing it completely for himself. But once he is using your implement, then it is prohibited. So you keep... No. It becomes like your shliach because he needs your permission to do it. So like, let's say you have a guy for a neighbor. Say, John, you didn't mow your lawn for such a long time. Here, have my mower and mow your lawn. That's prohibited. But if you go to him and you say, hey, your lawn is terrible. Why don't you mow it? And he takes out his own lawn mower, that's fine.
But your egg is permitted also? Cook my egg yourself?
I don't think it would be permitted.
Kaylee,
because it's like your Kaylee, right? In other words, the Yesod is he needs your permission, so it's like he's doing it as partially a shliach for you.
I have a house to go to my house.
Right.
I want to let her eat a meal.
Shouldn't really you? She has to do it on her own. You can't tell her to do it. She does it on her own, fine, but you can't tell her to do it, right? Now there's another halacha that a Gentile who does a malacha on his own, you can't benefit from that malacha. So therefore, what happens if you walk into the room and a Gentile turns on the light and allows you to read? You can't read. You can't be nena from a Gentile's malacha, even though you didn't even instruct the Gentile to do the malacha. What's the reason? Why not? The most popular reason is Tysus' reason, because gzei reshema yaymalai. If you are going to be nana from what the Gentile did, next time maybe you're going to come tell him. So therefore, we don't allow you to benefit what a Gentile did on his own. Another reason Rashi is a difficult reason, because it's Maisa Shabbos. It's a Melech Shabbos. When it's done for a Jew, it's considered a Melech Shabbos, and you can't benefit from Melech Shabbos. But let's go with Rashi's reason. So if a guy walks into the room, turns on the light, you can't read. Because if you're benefiting from the guy, you may come next time to tell the guy yourself. Some place can take it a step further. What happens if a guy brings a key? And then the key opens the door. Could you go into the room? So you could say, listen, he brought the key, I can't use the key because I am benefiting from the key. But once the key is in the house, this is a benefit from something that I already benefited from. Many Paiskim or Shlomo Zalman, you can't even have second generation benefit. Like, for instance, let's say a guy turns on the light, you can't benefit, but then the guy took out the safer, can't use the safer. Because even if you're going to read the safer in a different room, because you're benefiting ultimately from what the guy did. That's how strong the halacha is that you can't benefit from a guy.
Is that a gzera?
No, it's one gzera. You shouldn't have any benefit from a guy because we're afraid even if you benefit second generation, you may be enticed to tell the guy to do something. It was one gzera. Don't have any even indirect benefit from what a guy did for you. But there's a very fine difference, and the understanding of the difference is not so simple, that's only positive benefit. But negative, removing something that irks you is fine. For instance, if a guy comes in and says, ah, I see you're not sleeping good because the light is on, and he turns off the light, you could enjoy the darkness. Why can he enjoy the darkness? Because it's not that you're benefiting. He took away something that bothered you. So there's something called as a direct benefit, and there's something called an indirect benefit. Something called your guf is nana, and something called your guf is just nana by removing something. So therefore, a guy who turns on a light, you can't use it. A guy who turns off the light, you could benefit from the darkness. Now, the following halacha is based on what I just said. We know there's something as remez, as hint. You hint to a guy. A hint to a guy has to be very careful, even though people are very lenient with hints. But presumably a hint to a guy is, I can't sleep. The guy turns off the light. That's fine. If you say, I wish someone would turn off the light, I can't sleep, that's no good, because you already wish someone would turn off the light. If you say, would you help me, that's no good. It has to be a very parva statement, just proclaiming your anguish. You know, a lot of times the guy is going to ask you, what exactly do you want me to do? You can't respond, really, and say, well, turn off the light. That is prohibited.
Just to clarify, the issue of benefiting positively is whether the guy does it Drabbanan or Daraisa, or just open the light as Daraisa. It applies even for
Even by Drabbanan or Daraisa, right. But there's a difference between Drabbanan and Daraisa. By Drabbanan, only the one who the melacha was done for can benefit. By deraisa, no one could benefit. So, for instance, if a guy turns on a light in a room for you, you can't read and I can't read. If a guy, let's say, carries and brings something in from a carmelist for you, I could benefit, but you can't benefit.
Deraisa? Today?
Not fluorescent, possibly, but incandescent.
Deraisa?
Sure, incandescent.
No,
it's not what?
What is it?
It's maver because the metal gets hot. Right. Now,
Reb
Chaim Weizer writes that since it happens instantaneously, number one, and number two, since it's the derech b'hachi, it can't be grama. Now, turning on a light is a melacha d'oraisa. That's subject to a dispute. Reb Moshe writes, he's not sure. He says maybe there's d'oraisas, maybe there's rabbanan. Shlomo Zalman favors rabbanan. Chazanish says is the rice he came with the bit chiddush that it's binyan, you know, a difficult concept to understand. But in my opinion, as we'll see, telling a guy to a drabbanan and do a rice are two different levels. There's big nafkaminas. A light you have to deal with as being the rice. A machinery b'shas atchak you can deal with as if it's drabbanan, as far as a mir lakum goes, because it's really a drabbanan. Even if turning on the machine is the raisa, you're not doing it yourself anyway. It's the drabbanan. And if it's Rabbanan, it's mutter, so it's real like a Suffolk Rabbanan. That's, I think, how the halacha we should decide it. If you're reading and squinting, and then the guy turns on the light, you could use it. Because the fact that you're reading easier now doesn't cause an isser. The fact that you're reading easier now doesn't cause an isser. Since you could have read without the guy turning on the light. But if your candle went out, like I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a small light here on a Shabbos clock, and the guy comes into the room and says, "Boy, that must be very uncomfortable for you." Switches on the ceiling lights. You could read. Why? You're benefiting from the guy's action, but I was reading anyway. The increased ease of reading is not prohibited. But what happens after a while, your little light that you were reading initially with expired, it went off with the Shabbos clock, then you have to stop reading. Because you can only benefit with the light, kolzman, you were able to do it without the guy. So if the light goes out, which gave you the ability to read, then already you have to stop reading. Yes?
Let's say Shashuddin time, there's still enough light washed, starting, you know, it's still light, go over the light, get dark now because it comes twilight. You have to stop reading? You have to move away?
You mean the guy turned on the light?
Well, outside is still before sunset, so still put light outside.
And who turned on the light? The guy in the room.
Now it's dark now.
Right, now. So let's examine this. If the guy wouldn't have turned on the light, would you be able to eat?
No, it's dark now.
Can eat in the dark. Let's say you couldn't. You couldn't find then, you can't. But if you could have eaten in the dark, then you could have. Now, if you're in a situation that you want more light, and you were able to read without the initial light, then remez would be mutter. Because remez is only usser when you can't benefit. But if you are having what we call additional light that's not necessary for you to do what you wanted to do, then remez is mutter. Remez is always mutter. If the Gentile would have done it on its own, you could benefit, then remez is mutter. If the Gentile would have done it on its own, you can't benefit. How could remez be mutter? Remez is not better than if the Gentile does it on his or own or on his or own volition. Now, there is a very important klal that if the Gentile does it for himself, he has nothing to worry about, else we may have a problem walking in the streets. So if a Gentile goes into the room and turns on the light and starts reading a newspaper, and then the Gentile is about to turn off the light, you say, "Please don't turn it off. Nothing wrong." Why? Because obviously the turning on was for himself, and the not turning off is not a mere lakum. There's no issur not to turn off a light. So therefore, it would be permitted in those cases. There are halachas if a Gentile turns on a light in a room, and let's say there's 25 people. 13 are Jewish and 12 are Gentile, then it's also to be nana. 13 are Gentile and 12 are Jewish, then it's mutter to be nana because we go busser rove. But this whole, it's not so relevant today. You know, maybe you can figure if you live in a town with most Jews and the city turns on the light, maybe it's relevant in such a case. But if the Gentile turns it on for himself, that's always a ruling that it wasn't done for the Jew, because the person has his own interest. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say a guy gets paid to turn on the light for anyone who is here in the room, any guest in the hotel who has to read. So, Gentile comes in, and three Jews come in, and he turns on the light. There we could argue, you could be nena. Why? I turned on the light for three Jews and not for the one Gentile. He was obligated to turn it on for the one Gentile. So therefore, we don't have to say that he turned it on just for the Jews. He turned it on because he had to turn it on for the Gentile also. So therefore, many would say it is permitted in that case because it was his paid obligation to turn it on even if one person comes in the room. So therefore, he has to turn it on for the guy.
And if three Jews walk in and the Gentile is still being paid, if three Jews walk into the room...
No, so that's what I'm saying. We'll be mutter in that case.
No, go ahead.
Right. No, three Jews.
He's an employee.
No, but he's doing it for you. If he gets paid, you can't. No. Always when you pay a guy to do work, he's doing because he wants to get the money. But he's doing it for you. No, you can't pay a guy to do work for you. No, that's a problem. That's a problem. In a hotel, I'm not too sure you know, how it works in all hotels, but if he turns on the light in a shul, in a hotel, that's not so kosher, because he's turning it on for Jews.
But if there was a timer that turned on the light, then
that's fine, yeah. As long as the timer is not Jewish, it's all right.
It's a human timer.
He's human. He's not a machine. It's a Gentile doing work for a Jew. Even though he didn't instruct him, he was instructed by the management, but the management instructed him to do work for a Jew. That's not so. There are some etayrut to be simach on the balit that we'll talk about, but it's not so pashut. It's not so pashut to be set up l'chatchila that way. You know, if you have no etzah, you probably could be mekel. Yeah,
if he does a mitzvah, it's okay. And if the guy does a mitzvah,
that's me.
Okay.
No, not at all. No, we'll talk about it. If the Jew is going to perform a mitzvah, he needs the guy to help him.
Right.
We'll talk about that in a moment.
Bottom line, even hotel with 1,000 guests, you time it. Can't have a good.
It's the best way, right? The best way.
Is it the only way? Or the best
well, we'll talk about it because the way we're going to be matter it is only through the concept of tzarchei rabim, that maybe we could depend on the bala iter shita, but that's a kula. So to set it up that way, with 1,000 guests, you know, it's better to have a timer to do it.
And heat and air conditioning changing to make the room comfortable based on the number of people that come in. You know,
that's the same question.
Well,
if it's only Jews, only Jews.
I'm saying it's a shul, so
it's the same thing.
If
the same thing.
People in that shul, they need different.
The same thing. Yeah, the same thing. Over there, maybe if it's too cold, we have a term that you can tell a mir lakum in a case of illness. If it's very hot, I mean, we may have other term, as we'll see. But simply speaking, a guy can't do malacha for a Jew. A guy can't do malacha for a Jew. He did it for a Jew. He was instructed to do it. If he does it on his own, then you have to decide whether it's a direct benefit or an indirect benefit. So, you know, heating up a room that was cold, that probably would be considered a direct benefit. You're enjoying the heat.
Well, what's the problem? It's only the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim, you said, only the one who tells him is us. Everybody else can benefit from...
The one he does it for is us, sir. Not the one who tells him. In other words, if a guy does it, the Rabbanim for Reuven can't be Nana, and Shimon could. It has nothing to do with who told him. So if he turns it on for these 1,000 Jews,
he's doing it for the 1,000.
Yeah, and the next 1,000 could use it. Right, right.
So
right.
If there's a maintenance guy at my shul whose job it is to turn the lights on and off, turn the heat on and off, and all these things.
Not so great.
Isn't there like a cold hole you need to like horse?
Right. If it's cold, then you could have the heter of a mir la'akum for a chayli. But it depends how cold it is, number one. Number two, it's not really l'chatchila something to depend on. If you have no way to do it other than through a guy, then you can't be lenient. Now, there's another halacha that maybe is not 100% understood, that a guy that you know that does something for a Jew, right, is usher, and it's even usher if he does it for himself. So let me give you an example. Let's say a guy is warming up water. And then the Jew says, you warmed up water. Did you warm it up for yourself? Of course I did. The Jew cannot benefit from that water. Why not? We said a halacha that if a guy turns on a light for himself, the Jew could benefit. The only time the Jew can't benefit is the guy turns on the light for the Jew. But if the guy turns on the light for himself, you could benefit. But that's only true in a case where it's a light, because ner la echod ner la meya. It's one light. the light he turns on will benefit himself and benefit the Jew. When you're turning on water, then there's a problem that maybe the guy will increase the amount of water, and therefore he's going to do something for the Jew. Furthermore, some hold where even machmer, if he doesn't know the Jew has a need. So I'll give you an example. Let's say, for instance, you have a housekeeper at home. Housekeeper wants a cup of tea. She warms up the cup of tea for herself. In pops the Jew. He says, oh, there's some water on the fire. I think I'll have a hot tea. And obviously, the guy did it for herself. Not so simple. Because since she knows the members of the household, she may add more water for the members of the household. That's true. That's if they knew, if she knew they were coming home. But what happens if she didn't know they're even coming home? Then it's subject to a machlokes, because we don't want to allow a guy to do a malacha because she may increase the amount of the malacha, if not this time, maybe next time. So it's not so simple that the halacha is when a guy does something for himself or for herself, you could benefit. That's only if it's ner le'echod ner le'meh. It's like turning on a light. When it comes to cooking, things like that, we're afraid shema yarbe bishviloi. Maybe she will add more water. But that's only by makirai. If you're walking in the street and you bump into a guy who's cooked water and you say, you might have some water, that's no problem. The guy don't know you. He don't know you. He's not going to be marba more for you. That's the din of marba bishviloi.
Same if it's Roybacco. If the person, if you go into a hotel and the Shabbos and they prepare hot water for people to call it coffee, if the people are Goyim, you can use that hot water.
So if Roybacco the people are, but now we have a problem. True, they did it for the guy, but we have a lacha, even when they do it for the guy, but if they know you, it'll be Shema Yarba Bishvilei. So you could argue, and I think logically so, in a hotel, maybe they don't know you, but they have you in mind. Then it will be a problem. Very good question. You go in a hotel, and they have a big vat of water. So, mostly goyim. So, we say, the heating the water is for the goyim, because rov goyim. But we learned that even if they heat it for themselves, if they know you, it will be shema yarba bishvilei. Here also, shema yarba bishvilei. Because when this person is warming up the water, they may say, how many guests do I have here? Or next time, you know, when you're coming out, they saw you took one cup, they'll add more water. However, we'll envision it. That's a problem. You cannot, l'chura, take water from a big vat in a hotel, even though you argue that the guy definitely did it not for the Jew. Most of the hotel are goyim, but it doesn't matter. There's a shema yarba bishvilei. Now let's talk just a little bit about Shavuos to Shavuos before we talk about some other halachas of Rebiza.
One question.
Yes, please.
For example, in a hotel, the guy puts the food to your affair with the elevator. They use the stairs.
So that is definitely mutter. Because the reason is because the stairs was for his own ease. So therefore, the malacha was not needed in order to bring the food to you. Now, I just want to say, let's say there's only elevator in that building. Or let's say it just doesn't go down the stairs for some reason. There is a mokum to be makel. It's Rabbeinu Tam Shita, if I remember correctly. Because he feels you're not nene if you could go there. It's a Mishnah that says, if water's taken out of a well, you can't give it to your behema. Rabbeinu Tam says, what do you mean you can't give it to the behema? Can you drink it yourself? Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, why? A well is a Rishus HaYachid, and it was brought to the street, which is a Rishus HaRabim. Rabbeinu Tam says, you didn't need the guy. You could go into the well and drink. So you're really not nana. You could argue, the guy brought it downstairs, so therefore with the elevator was the only way, so you may argue, listen, how could I be nana? But the truth is, you could have gotten upstairs tea. Now, I know you're going to tell me upstairs is not so geschmack, you know, but you could have gone upstairs and eaten. Let's say the elevator went dead, and the stairwell is, you'd go upstairs and eat. That's Rabbeinu Tam's hefty, which you could depend on P.L. Walk. Hanah is only...
What if there's an electric burglar alarm on the stairs? The only way that you can go between the two places is by doing some malacha.
Well, assuming the guy, al pi halacha, wouldn't be able to bring you down something either way, then it would be a problem. But an extra burglar alarm, I don't know if such a problem, halacha, because...
It's a fire alarm.
Yeah, because when he goes down the stairs, it'll go off. But you're not telling him to turn off. It's the halacha of Amir al-Aqa with psik resh. It's also, let me mention that halacha. I wasn't up to that, but it's a very good one anyway. There's an interesting halacha that many places can depend on. When you tell a guy to do A, even though B is going to happen, you could tell him to do A. An example. Let's say on Yontif, you forgot something in your car. You ask the guy to go to the car and take it out. When you open up the car door, the light goes on. You're not interested in the light. Therefore, you're telling him to open the door. The light goes on automatically with a psik resha. There's no Amir Lakal with a psik resha. Same thing. Let's say you forgot your light on in the refrigerator. Oy vey, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do if you forget your light on the refrigerator? You go over to the trusted guy, say, open the refrigerator. Well, the light's going to go on. I don't want him to turn on the light. There's no secretion of Amir Liakum. You can depend on that. So I'm saying, even if the stairs would have a burglar alarm, let's say, still you don't have to be so concerned about it because you didn't tell the guy to turn off the burglar alarm. But theoretically, if there's only the only way he could come is by elevator, but you could go upstairs, then you have Rabbeinu Tam's heter. There's no nene for Meleches Akum because you have a way to do it on your own.
Somebody,
yeah.
When he goes to West Valley, come out of the buzzer. The lady comes to the door, that buzzer, but he went to the door.
I think that's fine because you didn't tell him to buzz. As long as it could be opened up manually, then already you have the heter to go, and tell him to do something. He chose to do something through a Chil Shabbos way. It didn't help you. It didn't encourage you. You didn't ask him to do it. That's fine.
30 seconds of my time.
Yeah, I mean, you were willing to wait the 30 seconds. I mean, you could give something in similarly. I mean, we'll get to it. You could give something into a cleaner. It's 3 minutes before Shabbos, and you could pick it up Sunday morning, even though you know he'll do it on Shabbos, as long as he could do it, Maitzai Shabbos. As long as he has that freedom and that amount of time.
Does it cover the use of the elevator and having him push buttons too if there's no procedure issue?
When you're in the elevator?
Yeah, I'm saying, like, you don't.
What do you mean there's no procedure issue? You're telling him to turn on the elevator for you.
I'm saying if you ride the elevator with a guy.
The guy's going in with you?
Then you're allowed to ride the elevator. You're causing the elevator to do extra work.
Oh, so that's a different question. Could you go into an elevator when a guy is going without a guy and the elevator is operated by a guy? That's Amir Lakum. He's turning it on the elevator for you. That's definitely an Amir Lakum Shaila. But if you go in with a Gentile and he is going to turn it on for the Gentile, right? So over there, we could say it's permitted. Now the question is, what type of elevator? If the stepping in the elevator produces increased electricity, then it's prohibited. If the stepping in the elevator doesn't produce increased electricity, then it's fine.
But no matter what, the light is going to light up when the guy pushes the button.
Yeah, but you know, he's doing it for the guy.
Right.
Now, the only thing you'll tell me, but there's one Jew and one guy, it's not right. Vakum, but since he's mandated to do it even for the one guy, that could be the Sfaris Mutter, like I mentioned before.
If there's no guy, then it's a totally different story.
Then it's Amir Lakum. He's doing it for you.
But if the guy is listening on the third floor, you're going to the fifth floor.
You have to get off on the third floor.
Okay.
Walk down. It's much easier. Down is easier than up. But if you go in yourself, that's an Amir Lakum Shaila. Because he's basically doing it for you. You going in, he's doing it for you. Now, let's just talk a moment. We'll get back to the Shailas of Shvus to Shvus and plain Amir Lakum. Shvus to Shvus is when you tell a Gentile to do a Melacha Derabanan. Amir Lakum is when you tell a Melacha, a guy, to do a Melacha Deraisa. Make a fire, cook, that's Deraisa. Derabanan is carrying the Carmelis. That's a Derabanan, right? Shvus to Shvus is much more lenient than Amir Lakum for Deraisa. It says in Simin Shin Zayin, for instance, Tzarech Mitzvah, you could tell Shavus Tashus. So for instance, let's say he's a person who is in a wheelchair. You could tell a guy, take him to Shul. Why? It's the book of Mitzvah. And it's only drop on him. Yeah.
Shavus Tashus doesn't necessarily imply that one of your Darabonim is a Mila Akim.
Yeah, but we're specifically referring to that. Because if it's two drabbanon, it's not clear when we can allow that. Mogen Avraham mm-hmm. says well, it's hard to extrapolate from one case mm-hmm. to another.
We allow a shvus to shvus for makom mitzvah or something like that.
Not as a matter of course, no. Only by shvus to ein b'maisa, only by mir lakum, like we're saying in these cases, because it's more kal. So therefore, you could tell a guy to take someone to a shul. Why? Shvus to shvus. Why is it shvus to shvus? Amir Lakum is one drabbanon, and moving a wheelchair in a karmelis is another drabbanon. That's permitted l'tzarech mitzvah. Another shvus to shvus may be mutter by chayli, by a sick person who is not bedridden. If he's bedridden, then you can tell him to do the guy to do a melacha d'raisa. If he's not bedridden, then you can't tell him to do a melacha d'raisa. You tell him to do a melacha d'rabbanon. So if you have a person who's sick, but he's not bedridden, then the guy could go across the street and bring a hot tea from a neighbor. Even though he's carrying the hot tea from across the street, that's only drabbanon as a karmelis. If it's only drabbanon, it's shvus the shvus b'mokam mitzvah. The third category is subject to a dispute b'mokam hefset gadol. If a person, let's say, is going to lose a large amount of money, so you could tell a guy to do a drabbanon to save that loss. Person has, let's say, a well-stocked freezer, and all of a sudden electricity went out.
Where'd it go?
A remisa, please. The only thing I can imagine is that newly installed Shabbos clock is guilty. Maybe you look over there. It may be high tech. You go look, Joel, over there. Why should all of a sudden go out? You have any way to override that Shabbos clock?
It's show and tell.
What?
Show and tell.
I don't know. It's hard to get good Shabbos.
It's talking
what? Okay. Well, we're going to talk about Tzarchi Rabba. Oh, it must have been the Shabbos clock, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to be set too well. Okay. So, Shavuos to Shavuos three times. Chayli, Mitzvah, and Hefzeh Gadol. You could be Makel, right? Now, Amir Lakam of the Raisa is a very difficult parsha. Some are Makel, Lutzarech Mitzvah. Tell a guy, Lutzarech Mitzvah. Some are Makel. The Ika Hiraz, you cannot be Makel. The only time you're Makel is if possibly, if it's Tzarech Mitzvah de Rabin B'Shas Atchak. But it doesn't mean you should set up the system that way. That okay, I'll leave the lights out, so therefore the guy will turn it out. If it happens. But let me tell you over at Noy Yehuda to put it in perspective. Yom Kippur, the lights went out in the Noy Yehuda shul, presumably in Prague. Nila. So somebody suggested he'll get a guy to turn on the lights. In those days it was probably candles, in order to daven Nila. Noy Yehuda said, Shemineser, we have enough time to say. What are we going to miss? The slichas, the beautiful Nila slichas. He says, that's not important enough to allow us to get a guy to turn on the light in the Beis HaMedrash. Slichas, you think Nila is a chash of a zach, no? The chazan must have been very upset. There goes his Nila. You know, it was Nila, beautiful slichas and Nila. We muster our strength, our last ounces of strength. We get another resurgence of Koyach by Nila, because we know it's Nila's Ashar. He said, Shemanesi will daven, we'll have Chazar's Ashat, but we're not going to be Marach with all those Slichas. Now, Slichas is definitely an important part of davening, but it doesn't rise to the importance that allows a person to tell a guy to do a Malach of the Raisa.
And
but
the title before was done by a Chashaykh, there was enough light.
No, but you wouldn't be able to say the slichas.
So that was a shout out to light if it's getting dark.
Right. So I told him that was by eating.
If it's pitch
pitch black, the question is if you could eat or not.
Here for sure you can't.
You can't daven. No one knows. No one knows Nila by heart. Surely the slichas, that may be a few chazonim. They know by heart because they've been practicing since Rosh Chodesh El. But the rest of us who don't. But I guess if he knew it out loud, he could have said it out loud, and everyone could have repeated it after.
Who is not here?
Of what?
Of Miril Nachi.
It's the Baal Ha'itur Shita. Taisa speaks about it in Gittin, I think, I'm on, but it's known as the Baal Ha'itur Shita. And but the Ramah is very emphatic. Maybe it could bother you if you turn around over there. You see a big Mishnah Berurah there, Chela Gimel. We have nice big size Mishnah Berurah, Chela Gimel. Thank you very much. Let's see if I can find the exact. What? Yeah. I'll show you if I could find it, if I remember exactly where it is. In Shin Zion.
When can we use it, Evan?
Well, we're allowing to use it, L'Sayra Charabim. Other than that, you know, it's hard to use it unless, you know, we're talking about a Hefsin Merub, we don't let you use it. Now, what happened to the Baal Ha'itr? The Mishnah Berurah is against that. Mishnah Berurah is against that because you don't have Chai Naisi Asatzmai there, so it's really Amir La'akam to do with the Rabbanan and the Carmelis. It's Shvus to Shvus, what's the Tzarech Mitzvah? Now, maybe the ones who do it argue the Tzarech Mitzvah is that you have a larger crowd, but Mishnah Berurah writes against it that you shouldn't do it. You should make the bris at home, and you shouldn't go to bring it to shul. You know, if you can't do it at home for some reason, that's a different reason. But by right, he says you should do it at home. Let me just see. Here it is. It's in Reish Ayin Vav. It says like this. It says people tell a guy to turn on a light because Amir Lakam Afil B'mlocha Gemura is Mutter B'mokam Mitzvah, the Baal Ha'itr, Shal Bizet Nogaram L'Hakel, the Ein Meicha B'yodim, the Yesh L'Hachmer, B'mokam She'ein Tzarech Gadol. You should be Machmer unless it's Tzarech Gadol, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'shlo Hichmer Af L'Tzarech Gadol. Shlo is Machmer even L'Tzarech Gadol. They sit in the dark, Moitzei Shabbos, even by a chasna, until the Olam says Baruch Hu. That's how the Rosh was noig during Shalosh Shudis. And then he says, if the Erev broke, then maybe we could permit it because that prevents Michshol. But it's something that only with Tzarech Godol Ad Ma'ayin. When they had the discussion about someone getting caught on the road Erev Shabbos. So the question was, could you use the Baal Ha'itr to tell a guy to drive you home? So, Eilecha Tzarech Gadol Mezeh, you know, spending Shabbos in the field. So maybe then you could be Soymech on the Baal Ha'itr. You know, it's a tremendous Tzarech. But short of that, you know, maybe it's Tzarech Rabim. No, it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara in Gittin says that you could tell a guy to write a shtar to buy property in Eretz Yisrael. Some say Eretz Yisrael Shani. You know, you cannot bring a raya from the Gemara. There was also a case they wanted a mal, a child on Shabbos, ishtafa chamimi. Could you tell a guy to warm up water in order to mal a child? Some say maybe you could tell for Mila because Mila is Daicha Shabbos, so Amir Lakum is Daicha Dachon Lamila. But to bring a raya that every Amir Lakum, the Sugi is, I mean, a Sugi in Shabbos, but it's really in the Mir. We learned the Bar of Shmuel by Tyson Gittin, Nabama Mabez. He brings down all the Shitas, so I have to know it from there, if not from anywhere else. Uncle Potem, this is the big Shaila. But Shmuz the Shmuz, that zicha, you could be makel b'mokum mitzvah by telling a guy. And the classical example of people use, a person is in a wheelchair, and to get to shul, it's mutter to have a guy take him to shul because it's a karmelis. And I'll tell you, even if it would be a rishus harabim, yesh makom lahakel, is a person could walk a little. Because once a person could walk a little, you have chaynai siyatsmai. If you carry a person who can walk a little, even if it's just a rabbin, it's not a deraisa.
Where's the little mean?
What?
Where's the little mean?
I think if you can manage to go for 2-3 feet, as long as he can move.
He doesn't have to be able to walk to shul.
No. As long as he can walk, make some steps.
Why not the ultimate way to shul?
Why not what?
Eddie mentioned he'll come in 2 feet. 2 feet, so the rest of the trip, though, he can't do it himself.
No, but I think that idea. No, chayinai siyatsmai means in any moment he could walk. So constantly when you're carrying the person, he's a walking person. I'm carrying him now, he can walk. I'm carrying him later, he can walk. As I'm carrying, he didn't get exhausted yet. If I make him walk and he collapses, then you're right. Then I'd ruin my heather. But I'm taking him the whole time. He can walk throughout the whole time. And then you should ask me, but what's with the wheelchair? The teretz is, the wheelchair is bottled to the person who is in the wheelchair. So before Shemishna, if you carry a bed with a person who's alive, you're not chayev skila or chatas. Why? Because the person who's alive is chayinai seisatzmai. The bed is bottled to the person who's alive. So therefore, that's why a cane, I think, is different. No. I can't think of a cane is because it's, maybe, a cane is because it's like a shoe. That's the lashon of the rush. It's like his garment. Here, I don't know if the vort, it's like his garment, the bed, or like it's bottled to him because it's significant. I don't know. Maybe it is and maybe it isn't. But that's also a big chiddush. A person who can't walk can use a cane. He's not exactly wearing it, but if he needs it to walk, it becomes like his shoe. Okay? We will adjourn here. If I can figure out how to turn this off.
How are the electronic keys?